Please turn to Romans chapter 10 in your Bibles. Romans chapter 10, I want to read to you some verses from that portion of God's Word. Romans chapter 10, I'll break into the passage. In verse 5 of Romans 10, we read these words. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. Dear friends, many today feel that religion, or specifically Christianity, is complicated. Some say it's only for the clever people, for those who've been brought up in the church maybe, and that it is for some spiritual elite. You need to be spiritually minded to accept these things or to really understand these things. Others imagine that it's about sort of climbing a ladder. I'm just learning more and going up and up and up, and hopefully one day I'll get to heaven. Or they think, well, I need to go to this place and that place and maybe cross an ocean, maybe go and visit this church and that church, and just for the search of hopefully reaching God. And yet, in a passage that we read together in Deuteronomy chapter 30, there's something wonderful here. Here in this passage, God lovingly sweeps all of that, all of those reasonings aside. He tells us in plain words that his way of salvation is not hidden. And my text, dear friends, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 to 14. There the Lord is saying that the way of salvation is not hidden. It's not far off. It's near. It's simple. It's available, and it's meant for sinners like us. And so here in that text, the context of it is this, and we always need to understand the context in which something is given. Moses is speaking to the people of Israel before they enter the promised land, before they enter the land of Canaan. He tells them that God has spoken. He tells them that he has not left them guessing, that they don't need to send someone into heaven to bring salvation down. No, they don't need to sort of sail across the sea to fetch it. No, in verse 14, we read these words, but the word is very nigh unto thee. It's very near. That word nigh means near. It's very near to you, the Lord is saying, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So you do it. Now, centuries later, the Apostle Paul quotes this text, this very passage in Romans chapter 10 that we read together. And he applies it to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, in effect, this is not just about the ancient Israel. It's about us. It's about you. It's about how you can be saved right now. It's not hard. It's not complicated. And here is the great truth that we'll consider today. Salvation is not something distant and difficult. God has brought it near. He's placed it within your reach. And the only thing standing between you and this salvation is what? Is your wicked heart. Is your sinful heart. That's the hardest thing. Because I don't want to admit to it that my heart is dead. I need to get a new heart. So I ask you this morning, will you listen to this? Will you stop running if you're a if you're not a Christian or you're not sure, you're just running to different things, stop running? Will you take this to heart and listen to the voice of the Lord, the living God? So let's look at this passage together, and I'm going to compare it with the passage in the New Testament that gives the quotation and applies it and says, this is not just what's written for Israel, but it is for us. So I want us to think about this. The title, if you want a title, is The Way of Salvation, Plain and Easy. There are three things I want to say. First of all, what is this commandment that brings salvation? What is this word, this commandment that brings salvation? And secondly, what obedience does God now require of you? What you should do? And thirdly, why this salvation is both plain and I would say urgent. So these are the three things. I'll repeat them to you as we go along. But first of all, what is this commandment that brings salvation? Look at verse 11 of Deuteronomy 30. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off, the Lord says. So when Moses here is speaking about this commandment in this verse, and we must be asking, what is he talking about? What is it? It's not simply the Ten Commandments, though those are holy and good. Nor is it a bare list of laws. No, Moses is pointing to the message that brings life. And the Lord constantly says, choose life, choose life, choose my commandment, choose life, live. It's not a message of works, but it's a message of grace. Because I'll give you life. He speaks to them the same thing that the Apostle Paul later on calls the word of faith in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. He says, this is the word of faith. This is the command. The command is the word of faith. Trust in me. Trust in me. So this commandment, we could say, is the gospel. Believe the gospel, the Lord is saying to the children of Israel. I'll give you life. You're going to the promised land. All of this pictorial sort of language that he's using here, that is pointing them, you can have salvation. You can have peace. You have been rescued from Egypt. You're no longer in bondage. I am your God. You can rejoice. Life. Choose life. This is the good news. They didn't deserve it. Let me explain more. In the previous chapter, in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 1, Moses reminds the people that this message was given in Moab, not Mount Sinai, where the Ten Commandments were given. At Sinai, the covenant was in practice a covenant of works. Do this and live. It was a revelation of who God is. But in Moab, God reaffirmed the promise that was made to Abraham, which is a promise of grace. I will bless you. You don't deserve it. You used to worship an idol in the backside of a desert. That's what Abraham was. He was an idolater in the Ur of the Chaldees. He wasn't a good man. He was ungodly. God showed him grace and promised them that he would bless them. And he would bless his seed. And all those who would trust in the God of Abraham, they would also be blessed indeed. And that includes true Christians. And so here, Moses is speaking not from Sinai, but from Moab. And it was made law and it was approved. We would use the term, it was ratified with the sprinkling of the sacrificial blood. Blood was shed. When that commandment was given in Moab, blood was shed. You can read that in Exodus 24 and verse 8. And this is all pointing to the coming of Christ. You see, the blood that Jesus Christ would shed. This great and final sacrifice for our sins. And so this is the commandment that Moses is speaking of, a call to turn back to God by grace through faith in a coming Redeemer. And this is exactly how the Apostle Paul interprets it and applies it in the New Testament to us today. And so we read in Romans 10, verses 6 to 8, he quotes this very passage, but now the Savior has come. He says, the Lord has come. Jesus Christ has come. But the Apostle Paul says, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. So he's now opening it up, expanding it, what it means. And then he goes on to say this, into heaven, that is bringing Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. You see what he's saying to you? The gospel doesn't tell you to earn your way to God. God and Christ has already come down from heaven. You don't need to go to heaven to fetch something new or fetch Christ. Christ has already risen from the grave. The work is finished. And the question is now for us, will you believe what God has revealed? The word has come. This commandment has come. The gospel has come. Jesus Christ, the word has come. So the gospel is not hard to understand. That's why a child can be converted. It's not a secret code. It's not a mystical sort of experience or a mountain to climb. It is plain word about a plain Savior. There's nothing complicated about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's altogether lovely. And it is for plain people. It's common, normal people. Whatever your situation is, are you a normal person, a common person? Basically, are you a sinner? The gospel is for people like that. Let me put it like this. Imagine a doctor, a physician. He's now got a cure for a deadly disease. He doesn't hide the medicine on top of a mountain or at the bottom of the sea. No, he brings it straight to your doctor, and your doctor gives it to you. He knocks the door. He puts it in your hand. All has to be done is what? Is to apply it, to take it. That is what God has done with his gospel. The gospel is a word, it's a message. And God says that is very nigh unto thee. It's very near to you. Not just near to you, but very near to you. In thy mouth and in thy heart. Now let me tell you, some of you children, you've been brought up in the church like this. Some of you have been going to church so many, many times. And so what does this mean to you? You've heard it preached. It's so near to you. Imagine if you were at the pub down the road and you just visited there, but never came to this church. Never had a Bible. I couldn't say to you, this is very near to you. But you are here. You've been here for years. It is very near to you. It's preached to you. You've read it in your Bible. You've felt its sting in your conscience. God has not left you in the dark. You've turned away from him many, many times, haven't you? I have too. We've failed him many, many times. But he has brought his word near to you, very near to you. And what is this word? It is this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the word. He lived the life that you could not live. He died the death upon that cross that you deserve to die and I deserve to die. And he rose again to open heaven to all who believe. He's made a new and living way, the apostle says. This is not distant. It's not hidden. It's as near as the breath in your lungs and the pulse in your chest. That's how near it is. But let me ask you, has it reached your heart? Has it entered your heart? It's not enough to have heard it with your ears. Has the word of God reached the seat of your affection, the very center of your soul, your conscience, your will? Has it affected you? How has it affected you? The gospel, my friends, is not a ladder for you to climb, Bishop Ryle said. It is a door you must walk through. You see, we could say reverently, Christ has climbed that. Christ has done the climbing. But will we believe? Will you believe? So that's the first thing. What is this commandment that brings salvation? Secondly, what obedience does God now require of you? What should you do? What does God demand of you? Look at verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. It says, what should you do? There are many, many today who've heard the gospel with their ears, who have nodded with polite agreement. Yes, I believe these things. I do respect these things. I do believe they are true. And even they speak of the Lord Jesus Christ as if they knew him. I do believe him. But their heart remains untouched. And there are quite a number of people here this morning in that condition. I'm not pointing at one single person. But you've spoken to me. That the heart has not been broken about their sin against the Holy God. Friend, God does not ask you merely to recite a creed or to tick the box of religious sort of activities and tradition, good traditions, saying, well, I do this. I'm not like these other people. I'm not what I used to be in the sense that I'm now changed my beliefs or the way I'm living my life. The obedience that God requires is not something outward, something just going through ceremonies. It's a heart deep and life transforming. That's what it is. I hope you want that. I hope you want genuine Christianity. Moses says in verse 14, then the word is very nigh thee, very near you, and in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. And the Apostle Paul, as I said before, explains this. He says in verses 9 and 10 of Romans 10, he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise of God. So what is the obedience that God now demands? What does God want from you? There are two things, two simple things, simple to understand. A child would understand. But they're weighty and eternal in their demands. They're number one, believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. This is not a sort of a cold acknowledgement, like accepting a historical fact. You may believe that Julius Caesar, you may believe that he crossed the Rubicon, but it will not change your life. It doesn't affect anything in your life. You might believe that certain things happened in history, just recent history. But how will it change your life? But believing in Jesus Christ is not sort of a mental agreement. It is the casting of your whole soul upon him. You count the cost and say, it means my life. That's what it means. Have you counted the cost? Or are you just wanting to add Christianity to yourself? Have your life as it is now and just add something else to it. Do a patchwork. No, it has to be everything. It has to go through everything. It's not a quilt you are making. It's a seamless life in Jesus Christ. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ then is not some mental agreement. And that's so important. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, the Apostle Paul says in verse 10 of Romans 10. With the heart, man believes. It's not just with the head. This is not sort of shallow or casual belief. It is heart faith. It means your soul then clings to Jesus Christ as your only hope. Nothing else then matters. Nothing of your circumstances matter. You stop trusting in your good works. You stop trusting in your past performance, your religious heritage, or your good intentions. You stop that, all of that. You come to see that your best is filthy rags, stinking in the sight of God. The best work I do it is imperfect and it is stinking in the sight of God, if I am trusting in it for my salvation, because God is so holy and I am not. And then what do? You run to, and yes, you do run to the Savior. You run to Jesus and you say, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's what I do. You go as you are, and the Lord changes everything in your life. You don't come out as you are. He sanctifies you. He makes you a new man in Jesus Christ. So let me speak plainly. This is the hardest thing a proud heart will ever do, because we don't see it. We don't see it. Like so many things in our own life, we are so used to things. There are many things in when you look at your face, you don't notice because you got used to it. But other people see for the first time and they notice it. There are things in your that you have in your home, you pass by. At one time, it bothered you, but now you've got used to it. We don't notice the expressions that we use, how often we repeat certain things. Other people notice it. And so we need to ask the Lord to reveal these things to us. To admit your helplessness. To say, Lord, I am lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, many refuse to do it, or they do it superficially. They would rather trust in their own decency than confessing their deep sin and trust a crucified Savior and Redeemer. There's a proud Pharisee once said, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of him, and he says that he, in his prayer, he was in the temple, and he said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. I'm so thankful. Look at who I am. I'm your best servant. Look at me. I'm so good. Nobody else is like me. But a broken sinner, he was beating upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the second man, the man who was beating his chest, he went home justified. God had saved him. Have you believed like that with the heart? So that's the first thing I want you to think about. There are two things you must believe in your heart in that humble fashion. But secondly, confess with your mouth. The Apostle Paul says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. And so this is, and let me tell you this, that this is not a magic formula or empty phrase for you to say, you, anybody can say, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. It's not an empty phrase. It's a public declaration. I belong to Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my master. Look at my life and see. It's a declaration of opening yourself before people and say, look, I belong to Jesus. I don't just have the badge. I don't have just the baptism. But my life shows not perfection, but I love him. And when I fall, I keep holding on to him. I get up and say, Lord, forgive me. I will follow you. I belong to Jesus. Can you say that? Can you say, I will follow him and I'm not ashamed of him? In the early church, confessing Christ publicly often meant losing your job, being cast out by your family, or even facing torture and death. That's why they had the practice of baptizing people quite quickly. They knew what they were getting themselves into. They were going to face great, great trials that you and I do not experience. But they still took the stand. They refused to be secret disciples. And friend, the gospel demands a public response. You can't hide in the shadows forever. If Jesus Christ bore your shame upon the cross, will you not bear his name before the world? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me, the Lord says, and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. So you must speak. If you're a Christian, you must speak. You must tell others. You must tell your family. You must tell your friends. You must tell God's people that Jesus Christ is Lord and He owns you. You don't own yourself. He owns you. That you have turned from your sin and cast your soul upon Him. That He is now your life, your love, your Lord. It's not enough to believe quietly. A true faith will always become a public faith. A silent, a sort of invisible Christianity is no Christianity at all. As one put it, faith is a fire in the heart that will soon flame out at the lips. During the reign of Queen Mary of England, known as Bloody Mary because she sanctioned the death of many, many Christians in the 1550s, many faithful Christians were burnt at the stake, even in Gloucester itself, for their confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. One man, early English reformer John Bradford, he famously said to another man, as they were led to die, he said, "Be of good comfort, brother, for tonight we shall have a merry supper with the Lord." He was willing to stand and be burnt for the Lord Jesus Christ. These men had believed with the heart and confessed with the mouth, even unto death. That's the obedience that God requires. Are you willing to die? At baptisms, I have added an extra question that I'm asking people. And it is pointed. There is a purpose behind it. And I hope you, if you're a Christian, and if you have been baptized, and if you're struggling right now, and you are maybe giving in to certain things, you are very, very cast down, the question was asked, are you willing for the sake of Jesus Christ to die? And you said yes. You said yes. Did that mean anything? Will you not follow Him? Will you not get up and say, "Lord, take me again. Use me again." Now, the third thing, very quickly, why this salvation is both plain and urgent. Why is it so plain? Simple, but it is urgent. Again, I hope you have your Bibles open. The passage in Deuteronomy 30, it makes something unmistakably clear that the way to be right with God is not mysterious, it's not unreachable. In verse 11, look at it. It says that it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. The word, it says in verse 14, the word is very nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So the gospel is not hard to understand. It's not locked away in some sort of secret vaults of mystical knowledge. It is not written in an unknown heavenly language. It is not up in heaven or across the sea. It's near, clear, simple. And because it is near and clear, it is urgent. So there are certain things I want to say. Number one, it's plain because God Himself has come down. God Himself has come down. The gospel does not require you to go up to heaven and bring it down. Why? Because God has already done it. He's come down. He's come in the person of Jesus Christ. Imagine you go and say, "Well, I need to find that God." God says, "I came down. I came down. And I'm here with you. You can cry out to me anytime, any place." As I said to a lady earlier last week, so you don't need to go to Mary. You don't need to go to a building and make an appointment with your priest anymore. Imagine, you don't even have to waste any of that time. But go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator. And she said, "Yes, I know, but she couldn't, it was too simple." How wonderful it is. It is simple. But it makes it quite urgent. Who shall ascend into heaven, Paul says in Romans 10 and verse 6, that is to bring Christ down from above. You see, Christ, the eternal Son of God, left heaven's glory and came into this fallen world to save sinners. God came to us when we were never have gone to Him. He didn't send a messenger only. but he came himself. The Word was made flesh, the Apostle John says. Christ lived the life that we should have lived, and that pure life, that righteous life, that obedient life. And how much we failed God. And then he died on that cross. He experienced death that we should have died and experienced under the wrath of God, bearing the curse of our sins. How awful it is when you think about it. What more could he do? What else could he do? What else do you want from God? Must he come again and suffer again? Will you insult his love by asking for more proof? Christ has already come. The ladder from heaven has already touched the earth, as it were. You don't need to climb it. He has descended to where you are. But then something else. It is plain because the message is near and understandable. Moses said, it is not far off. It's near. It's not written in the stars or buried under the layers of religion. The gospel message is not obscure. It is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on him and you will be saved. Do you need a commentary? Do we need to wait and just say, I need to think about this a little bit more? And does it really mean believe? What does believe mean? And analyze all of these words. No, a child understands it. Yes, it contains mysteries beyond human depths, but its saving truth is plain enough for a child. A dying thief understood it as he was hanging beside the Lord Jesus. A despised tax collector in the temple, he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and went home justified. The Philippian jailer, he asked, what must I do to be saved? And he received the answer. Within moments, it wasn't given, well, here is a book to read. Here's another sermon to listen to. No. He received the answer in a moment. God has not made salvation a riddle. He has written it in blood upon the cross. I died for sinners. So don't say in your heart, this is too deep, or this is not for me. The Apostle Paul says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's near, it's knowable, it's clear. But also, thirdly, it's urgent, because you are perishing. I am perishing. It's urgent word. Though the gospel is simple, it is not to be treated lightly. Its very simplicity demands a response. Because the door is open, you must go in. Because the remedy is available, you must take it. Because the invitation to you is so near and so freely given to you, you must answer it. You're not promised tomorrow. Moses said in verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So the urgency there rings true. It rings still today. Every delay puts you closer to the grave and to the judgment. To reject the gospel is not to remain neutral. To go out unchanged is not to remain neutral. It is to sin against love. It is to slap against the hand of God. It is to spit on the face of the suffering Savior and say, that's not good enough. Do you see that? How shall we escape, the apostle says, if we neglect so great salvation? So the gospel isn't difficult, but it is dangerous to ignore it. So we've seen from this passage that the gospel, the commandment which God gives, is not distant, it's not difficult, it's not a mysterious thing, it's near, it's plain, it's saving. Praise God for that. Imagine if you were told to read this tome, this great volume, and listen to this series of long sermons for a couple of years. How long have you got? Imagine if that's what it was. But no, it's plain. And it calls for a personal response from every hearer today. Moses said, the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. And the apostle Paul says, by the Holy Ghost, he says, explain this to me in the message of salvation. It is that message through the Lord Jesus, by faith alone, not works. So to you who are not believing, for you who are not true Christians, you are without excuse, it's saying. So my friends, God has not made salvation hard. The gospel has come to you. You've heard the name of Jesus. Oh, praise God. Just to hear the name of Jesus, that can transform you. It's transformed many people. You've heard his name. You know your sin. You know your need. Will you really say that the problem is with God? Will you say he has not revealed himself enough? Or that the way is not too clear? I can't see. That will not stand on the judgment day. God has sent his son. God has sent his word. God has sent his preachers. God has sent his spirit. And now he sent this message to you. So if you walk away unchanged, it's not because God made it the way difficult. But go home and cry out to God, even after the service. Pause and before getting into conversations, just go and find a peaceful place and just cry out to God. Go into my study and say, I just need some time. Just yourself and God. You don't need anybody else. Cry out to God for that. Even go home and say, I won't have lunch. I'll just go home. I need to get right with God. Do that. May today be a day of salvation for somebody here. Don't reject the only cure for your disease. Don't carry on with this. You turned from the only ark in the flood. If you were to refuse this door out of Sodom before the fire fell, don't say in your heart, who shall go up for me? Christ has already come. So that's for you who are not Christians. But then to those of you who are doubting, I'm trying to apply these things to various people here. Those of you who are despairing, the door is still open. Praise God for that. The door is not shut yet. Some of you may be saying, well, I've sinned too long. I've run too far from God. Oh, dear friends, listen again to the plainness of the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no sin too deep for the blood of the Lord Jesus. There's no life too ruined for the grace of God. Say not in your heart, who shall bring Christ down from above? For he has already come. Don't say, who shall bring him up from the dead? Because he's already conquered death. The gospel doesn't ask you to climb that ladder of merit and just trying to fix your life. No, you can't do it. But you must ask. It is asking you to look to the Lord Jesus and live. Don't wait to make yourself better. Come as you are. The gospel doesn't say, fix yourself, then believe. It says, believe, and you will be made whole. It is not only plain, it is a powerful thing. And to you who are Christians, I say, share this word. Share this word that is near. Do you remember the mercy of God to your soul? How simple the message seemed when your eyes were opened, and how glorious the Savior, Jesus Christ, was to you who rescued you? Then you ought to go. What are you doing? You need to tell somebody. You need to tell your children. You need to tell your family. You need to tell your neighbor. The word is near. But for many, it is still unknown. Pray for them. Speak to them. Be bold, not ashamed. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So the word of salvation is not far, dear friends. It's not hard. It's not hidden. It is here this very moment. Praise God for that. The word has been brought near to you and preached to you this morning. Will you not come to the Lord Jesus Christ now? You're not guaranteed another sermon. This could be, as often I say, my last sermon. You may not hear the gospel again before our soul is lost, before the door is shut, the Lord says, come. May the Lord bless these things to us.